What happens when the relationship that was supposed to save you becomes the one that destroys you? Carmen Maria Machado's memoir shatters the silence around a question the queer community has long avoided. What do we do when the violence comes from within? This isn't just another breakup story. It's a literary excavation of a relationship that morphed from intoxicating romance into psychological warfare, told through fractured narrative lenses that mirror the disorientation of abuse itself. Machado doesn't simply recount what happened. She builds an entire architecture of memory, each room revealing how love can become a haunted house where you lose yourself one small concession at a time. Before diving into her personal story, Machado confronts a stark reality. Queer domestic abuse barely exists in our cultural memory. The word archive comes from the Greek for house of the ruler, revealing how storytelling has always been political. For centuries, queer experiences have been systematically erased, their histories gatekept by those who deemed them unworthy of preservation. The concept of the abused woman only entered our consciousness 50 years ago. Discussions of same-sex relationship abuse? Even newer. This creates a dangerous void. How do you name an experience when the language doesn't exist? How do you seek help when there's no roadmap? Machado's memoir becomes an act of historical rebellion, documenting what has been deliberately forgotten. By writing her story, she creates a beacon for those wandering in similar darkness, proving they're not alone in experiences that feel unspeakable. The Dream House begins as pure enchantment. Machado meets her girlfriend at an Iowa diner, a short, androgynous woman with a voice like a wheelbarrow jagged over stones. Their chemistry is immediate and electric. Unlike previous crushes that floated past, this woman touches Machado's arm, looks directly at her, makes her feel simultaneously terrified and exhilarated. Their first sexual encounter feels revolutionary. On lavender-scented sheets, her girlfriend asks permission with each touch. "May I take your shirt off?" Every whispered request thrills Machado as she says yes, yes, like drowning willingly in the tide. For someone who describes herself as a weird fat girl, this relationship feels like vindication. Her girlfriend sees past social markers to appreciate Machado's brain, talent, wit, spirit. They write together, cook elaborate meals, have passionate sex everywhere. When her girlfriend suggests long distance after accepting Indiana University's writing program, Machado is stunned. Someone wants her this much? The dream house in Bloomington becomes their shared utopia, a place where their love can flourish away from judgment, proof that queer domesticity can rival any heterosexual romance. The transformation from dream to nightmare happens gradually, almost imperceptibly. During a standardized test scoring job, Machado stays with a traumatized woman during her bathroom break. Her girlfriend calls repeatedly, and when Machado finally emerges, her girlfriend is furious, slamming the dashboard, calling her inconsiderate. When Machado insists you made the right choice helping someone in crisis, her girlfriend leans close and hisses, "You're not allowed to write about this. Don't you ever write about this." Other incidents accumulate, like water damage behind walls. Her girlfriend calls her a fucking bitch over Thanksgiving planning, leaving Machado shopping at 11 p.m. and cooking alone while guests eat off paper plates. Jealousy becomes irrational. Machado is accused of wanting to sleep with everyone, roommates, friends, colleagues, even her father. During sex, her girlfriend grabs her face, demanding, "Who are you thinking about?" Machado's body begins manifesting distress, constant nausea, tremors, esophageal constriction. She cries without reason, can't orgasm, can't make eye contact. A doctor tells her to lose weight, missing the real diagnosis. The 105-pound blonde waiting outside is the weight she needs to shed. Gaslighting, the systematic undermining of someone's perception of reality, becomes Machado's daily existence. Her girlfriend's coldness is a puzzle she can't solve. Machado speaks carefully, yet when her girlfriend repeats her words back, they're unrecognizable. During a drive from Connecticut, her girlfriend erupts, demanding to know why Machado won't let her drive, accusing her of wanting her dead. When they switch, her girlfriend drives recklessly through dark mountains at 90 miles per hour, nearly falling asleep at the wheel. Arriving at 4 a.m., Machado spots coyotes and points them out. Her girlfriend explodes. "Fuck you! I thought you were pointing out someone who's going to kill us." By morning, she acts as if nothing happened, brewing coffee sweetly. After a bowling alley incident where her girlfriend whispers, "I fucking hate you," screams in Machado's ear, throws her suitcase, and pounds on the bathroom door, she later claims no memory, just darkness between the bar and crouching over Machado naked. This pattern leaves Machado questioning her own memories, on the verge of accepting her girlfriend's version of reality over her lived experience. Perhaps the most painful aspect is the isolation unique to queer abuse. Fantasy defines female queerness. Finding love without men's accompanying bullshit seems like paradise. Acknowledging the insufficiency of this queer idealism hurts almost as much as recognizing we're in the muck like everyone else. When Machado tries talking about her experiences, responses are mixed. Some listen, but others politely dismiss. Was it really that bad? She seems perfectly nice. Once, at a party, a woman drunkenly whispers, "I believe you," making Machado cry so hard she has to leave. The queer community historically struggles addressing abuse within its ranks, often circling essential truths no one wants to face. Women can abuse other women, and queers need to address this because no one else will. Without physical evidence, Machado finds herself wishing her girlfriend had hit her, a terrible wish born from craving the clarity of something black and white after years of believing I was losing my mind. This absence of proof leaves her vulnerable to doubt from others and herself. Breaking free takes multiple attempts. Her girlfriend confesses to falling in love with Amber, promises to stay, then Machado discovers she's actually dating Amber in Indiana. After the final breakup, 9 voicemails alternate between loving pleas and vicious threats. A conversation with Val, her girlfriend's ex, reveals their relationship's foundational story was a lie. Healing begins with small acts, leaving her phone at home, practicing accountability to no one. Her Republican uncle Nick offers unexpected support. Everyone's heart breaks in the same way. In a surprising turn, Val asks to accompany Machado to Iowa. They drive to the Grand Canyon, eventually marrying. 7 years later, Machado still dreams about the dream house, but has developed a sixth sense, physical revulsion when meeting certain people, like the sour liquid rush before vomiting. She recognizes it as my brilliant body's brilliant warning. Writing this memoir becomes both testimony and transformation, ensuring her experience isn't erased from queer history. The dream house remains part of her, but no longer defines her. She has built new homes, found true partnership, reclaimed her voice, a tale for readers who might recognize themselves and find comfort knowing they are not alone.